Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program.
My name is Jordan.
My name is Mark Martin, and Ed can't wait to get started today.
I was looking at at the Bible, and I thought, oh, I'd never say something.
Okay, well, everybody, Ed is awake today. I'll tell you that. He is ready to roll. But that's hilarious. And we're glad you're with us this evening on this Sunday, January 4th. It's the first Sunday of 2026, and Ed is raring to go.
Wow, what a day. We had some discussion already about this day so far.
Yeah. Ed says, he asked me, he says, is it a full moon? I said, I really don't know, because I'll tell you, the world is really coming unglued.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have to laugh to keep from crying.
You know what we're going to be talking about is anxiety, anxious. Yeah. And so what a perfect lead-in.
You couldn't wait to get
started. Don't be anxious, Ed.
Don't be anxious. That's right. Yeah, it's so good to be here. And time is marching on. You know, I never thought when I was a young man, I remember as a boy, I grew up in a Christian church, very different from some of the things that I believe now. But what was interesting was I believed that this world would have been over by now. Mm-hmm. During my youth, as I was growing up,
right.
I thought for sure, Ed, that I would never be able to drive. And as a kid, I was like, oh, I want to drive before the end of this world, before Jesus comes back. But now, you know, here I am pushing 60 years old, and the time has just gone by so fast. And I look at the world today, you know, then I didn't want Jesus to come back. And now I'm thinking, when is he coming?
Right.
And we know it's going to be sometime. We know it's going to be soon. Whether it's in our lifetime or not, we don't know. But we have to be ready for it either way, whether he comes in our lifetime or not.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that so important?
Well, because once you take your last breath, there's no changing your decisions that you made.
So
there's
true.
No changing. You can't decide, okay, now I'm going to follow Christ. When you're dead, you know nothing.
Right. So the decisions that we make now are really important. And we're not saying it to make you more anxious, because we're going to be talking about anxiety. And really, these are things that we shouldn't worry about.
We should trust in the promises of God's Word.
Amen. We really should. And, you know, I'm looking forward to this study. We've been doing this series for 8 weeks now. This is week number 9, and it might go on for through most of this year. It's hard to say, because we're discussing the life and ministry of Jesus.
Right.
What did he do when he was here on the earth? We looked at his birth, and we've gone through his time as a youth, which there's very little information about.
Right.
But we've read those texts, and we're going to continue today, and I think it's Matthew chapter
6.
Yeah. The end of that chapter, and then we'll continue in 7 if we have time. But before we do that, we always like to thank Ray Powers for giving us this platform and allowing us to be able to have this program each week. And when we're not here, he makes sure we're on the air either way. And we were shooting each other texts just the other day, and you know, the year's wrapping up, and he just said it's been a good year for us here on New Visions Radio. And every Sunday he's faithful to make sure that we have this spot at 7 p.m. Ed, tell us a little bit about Prophecies of Hope. I know we do this every week because we never know when new people are tuning in.
Right. We're just a little ministry. We started in 2012,
mm-hmm.
and became more formally organized in about 2015. And we're at a little church here in Stanton, Virginia, 1743 West Beverly Street.
Mm-hmm.
We have services on Wednesday evening and also on the Sabbath, the seventh day of the week. And we have a Bible study on Sabbath mornings called Sabbath School at 9:30. And then at 11 o'clock, we have our worship hour. If you wish to study with us, we're available via Zoom Wednesday evening, as well as Sabbath morning at 9:30 for the Sabbath School.
Yeah. As we do this program, whether you tune in online, if you watch us via Zoom or via stream, or you're here on this network listening to us, we want to encourage you to open your Bible and read along with us as we study. And what's amazing is sometimes, even when we're studying on the Sabbath morning, sometimes a passage will be read from a different translation, or maybe we accidentally misread
right.
what's on the page. Just the other week, you had me read something, and I didn't. I was reading it. It was a question, but I read it as a statement. Mm-hmm. And boy, it completely changed the meaning right. of the text. So this is why it's important to open your Bible and read along with us. So for that reason, we offer free Bibles to anybody. If we can get one to you, we will get one to you. If you'd like a copy of the Bible, we will provide for you either a King James or a New King James Bible. And we do that free of charge. And we will make sure it's shipped to you and that you receive your own personal copy.
If, the ones ahead. We have right now are really, really, really
they
nice
really
Bibles.
Are. They really are. They're soft-bound. And they're not leather, but they feel nice. Yeah. They're a good quality material, and they are very large print. Yeah. So even Ed can see it with his old
right.
eyes. But they are very, very nice. But it's exciting that God has given us the means to do those things.
Right.
As tiny as this ministry is, there's only a really small group that meets here in person.
Right. We do have other people join us via live stream
yes.
or via Zoom. But yeah, physically there's only a few people here. But, you know, God be glorified. He's
Amen.
The one that has given us the means to do this. He has brought together people you wouldn't guess that he would form a group with.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah. And from various backgrounds.
Right.
And so it's really it's amazing to see God working. When I look at my life, like I said, when I was a young man, my life is much different now than it was then. And looking back, I can see how God worked in my life through the years. But at the time that I was living during those things, I didn't see it. I couldn't understand it. And I was wondering, why is this happening? Why am I going through this? And now looking back, I say, He was preparing me.
Mm-hmm.
He was preparing you, Ed. He prepared each of us for where we are right now in our lives. And it's pretty amazing. And we just have to pay attention to the things that He's doing a lot of times. Anyway, that's a little bit about this ministry. I do want to invite you, too, to check out the website. We do archive these radio programs there. If you haven't been able to tune in, if you've missed any of these, you can go back and get them. That's the other thing. Once the program has run on a Sunday night, once you hear the program there, it will run a few times during the week. Now, I don't know what that schedule is. I don't know if Ray puts that in a random order, but I do know that you can go online and find the schedule at newvisionsradio.com. I don't know that I've ever said that before. But anyway, is there any other business we need to take care of, Ed?
Not that I know of.
Are you ready to get started with a Bible study?
I'm anxious to get started.
Anxious to get started. Why don't you have a prayer for us?
Sure. Father in heaven, we're so grateful for this time we can come together to open your word, the Bible. Father, as we study this section in Matthew 6, the ministry of Jesus, talking about being anxious, Father, may it have an impact on our lives today. The world is such a crazy place right now. Father, help us to be able to put our faith and trust in you and the promises of your word and the gift of your son, Jesus Christ. Father, as we study these things, give us wisdom and knowledge to understand them, to be able to apply them to our life and guide us by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Ed, I want to say that just talking about anxiety, I remember a long time ago there was a radio tune, a tune that came on the radio by a country group, and it would say, "I'm in a hurry and don't know why."
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's me. Even when I'm not anxious, it seems like I'm always in a hurry to do something. Let me get this done. I have to get that done. And I think that's part of the society that we live in.
Yeah.
And when we were coming to the studio, you were trying to back in into your parking spot.
There's not a lot of space in front of the office here, and so I was going to back in, but I didn't go far enough forward, and I realized that, and there was this car behind me, so I pulled forward, opened my window, waved them on by, and they just sat there.
And
so I waved them on by again. Finally, the passenger told the driver, "Okay, you need to go around." That way I could back in.
Yeah, and then you were saying that on the way here, there, somebody cut through a parking lot because you were doing the speed limit.
I was doing the speed limit. I was going too slow for them.
And when you stopped at the light, somebody shot through another parking lot
yeah.
because anxiety. They're anxious, you know, and that's the world we live in. Everybody wants it now. I've often said we live in a microwave society. In other words, you know, I want something, but I want it as quick as I can get it. And this anxiety is something that I think every person has had at some point or another. So where do we find this text?
Well, let's go to Matthew chapter 6, and we'll start with verse 25. I believe we read this at the end of our program last week, but it's a good place to start again today. I'm going to read verses 25 through 34. This is the modern King James. Therefore I say to you, do not be anxious for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? You know, in the world we live in now, this is a reality for many people.
Yes, it is.
And, you know, Jesus is saying, as we read on, you know, don't worry about these things. You know, your Father knows you have need of these things. Let's go on to verse 26. Behold the birds in the air, for they sow not, nor do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they are? Which of you, by being anxious, can add one cubit to its stature? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. But I say to you that even Solomon in his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Therefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much rather clothe you, little faiths? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we be clothed? For the nations seek after these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow shall be anxious for its own things. Sufficient to the day is the evil of it.
And mine says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So, you know, it likens here in this text. It asks the question, are we not worth more than these other things that God takes care of? So if he cares for those things, who are we to think that he wouldn't take care of us? And, you know, some people might look at their life and say, yeah, but I've had a really difficult life, or I haven't been able to stay employed and I've really tried, or I can't seem to stay ahead of the bills, or whatever those things are. Those are real worries of the day.
Right.
They make us anxious when we have bills to pay and we can't. And I find it interesting, too, that here it likens... It talks about Solomon. Who was Solomon in the Bible?
Solomon, King Solomon, was King David's son, who asked of God for wisdom, and God gave it to him. And he was very wise, had a lot of riches, built God his temple in Jerusalem, Solomon's temple, which was destroyed by Babylon, by King Nebuchadnezzar. And it was very glorious. It was very... expensive, extravagant, you know. And it says in verse 28, why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They do not toil. They don't spin. They don't spin yarn to make clothes, you know. But I say to you that even Solomon in his glory was not arrayed like one of these. So sometimes... if we look around the world around us and see the nature of it, we'll see what God has created for us and the beauty of it. He's the one that has made these things. He's the one that maintains these things.
Yes, he is.
He keeps them alive. And so Jesus is saying, if you see these things, know that your Father cares about you much, much more than these things.
You know, Jesus' advice here is tremendous, because I want you to notice that last week we talked about verse 24, that you cannot serve God and riches. Most people, if you ask them, ask for anything and I will give it to you, what are most people going to ask for today?
Probably something to do with money.
Yeah, most people would do that. Yeah. Solomon was asked that very question.
Yeah.
What would you like? What do you want? He didn't ask for riches. You mentioned it. He asked for wisdom.
Right.
And because of that wisdom, he had the ability to be able to get those riches. He didn't even ask for it.
Well, yeah, God blessed him in those ways too.
Sure,
yeah.
Absolutely. He didn't ask for it, but his wisdom, and in some ways, he wasn't that wise because he chose so many bad things.
Yeah, he ended up worshiping false gods.
Yeah.
Because of the influence of his many wives and concubines.
Yeah, thousands, over 1,000. It's just hard to imagine that. And these are all things that Jesus addresses here in the Sermon on the Mount. And the things that Solomon had and did and accomplished is really what the world is doing today. Going after false gods. Some people have had many wives. They go after riches. So Jesus is reflecting back on this individual, this historical person, Solomon, and showing that just because somebody might appear a certain way, it doesn't mean that they are doing a good thing. So, I don't know. It's just what wisdom we have here in him telling us not to worry about the things that we eat or we drink. And I will say, if you don't have a walk with Christ, that's easier said than done. Because I think that these are things that we all are concerned about. What am I going to do? You know, what if I lose my job or I can't pay my bills?
You know, his response to all these things, clothing, food, is in verse 33. He says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you."
So what does that
look
like?
That's Christ's answer to the problem.
Yeah. So let's be real about this, Ed. What does that look like? When we talk about seeking first the kingdom of God, because in this world today, most people, this is not what the majority of people are doing. They're seeking first their career or things that they desire or want.
Well, that word righteousness in Strong's is defined as equity of character or act, specifically Christian justification, righteousness. It's talking about living a life according to the law of God, being a right way of living, being righteous.
A godly life.
Yeah.
Putting God first in everything that we do. And again, this is not popular. It's not something that's considered by most people in this world. So again, how in your life, Ed, you've had choices to make. Do you have any thoughts on making the right choice? What causes you to do the things that you do and put God first in your life? Do you have any advice for any listeners? And I'm kind of putting you on the spot here, but I know in my life the things that I've had to do. I'll just share that with you before you answer. For me, when I learned that God wanted me to keep all of his commandments, it took a lot of effort on my part to have to lay down the things that Jesus is talking about here prior. It's not easy, but the blessings that come from doing it are so rewarding.
Well, I think for me, the difficulty in the past with relationships and not wanting what was happening, but yet still having to decide to trust in God no matter what I was going through. Very difficult times for me personally. And but looking back at what happened, you know, my life was definitely changed. I don't know if it was definitely always for the better, but I don't think I would be where I'm at today if I had not experienced those things.
Right.
And so even though they were very unpleasant to go through and I had a lot to learn about my own character and the need for change in my own life, I think God used those to try to bring me more in line to the way he wanted me to live my life. Hmm.
So, in other words, what you're saying is the choices that you made initially may not have been exactly what was in line with God's will, but the consequences you had to go through.
Right.
But God took those that experience that you had and turned it into a positive for you. He taught you something.
Right.
Through the consequences. And now you look back and you say, well, if I had that decision to make today, it would be a lot different than the decision I made then.
Yeah, you know, sometimes our level of maturity isn't as great as what our age is.
That's the case for me, I can tell you that.
Life experiences will help you to decide who you're going to be.
Yeah.
Are you going to be a follower of God and actually apply the Bible to your life? Or are you going to live as the world tells you to live?
Hmm. And so not worrying about these things, the food, the clothing, he just talked about the riches before. These are natural in this world because, let's face it, without food and clothing and without money in this world, what do we have? We have nowhere to live, mm-hmm. right? And we go hungry. But I've seen in my life at times when I didn't think, there were a couple of times when I first started my business that I thought, this wasn't a good decision. I don't know how long I'm going to make it here, especially when I moved from one location to another. But at that point, I really started to rely on God, and I saw everything kind of almost falling into place, not by anything that I did. And I say that because the decisions that I would have made, unless it's almost like God took that experience and he said, okay, I'm going to put this here and let me see how you deal with this. And when I made the hard decision and did what I thought God would want me to do, it has always worked out. It's always worked out, even though it's a difficult decision.
Yeah, sometimes I don't think we give God enough praise, enough glory for his working in our life, even through the difficult times.
Mm-hmm.
I want to read a text from Philippians chapter 4, and I'm going to be reading verses 4 through 8. This is the modern King James Version. And this is Paul speaking. He's saying, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." It doesn't say don't ask God for things. Don't ask Right. him for direction or whatever your needs may be, but do it with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Verse 7, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus," the Son of God. "Finally, my brothers, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are right, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's any praise, think on these things." You know, sometimes when we're anxious, it's all we can think about.
It's true.
You know, how am I going to deal with this? What am I going to do? You know, it goes on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my first suggestion to you is, if you find yourself in a situation, go to God. Pray to him. Ask for his help. Ask for guidance. Ask for wisdom. Ask for whatever you need.
Mm.
And let him guide you in whatever this problem is.
Yeah. You know, I think that when times are tough, we all tend to come to God in prayer easier when things are bad in our lives.
Yeah, we recognize our limitations.
Yeah. And really, I'll tell you, the older that I get, Ed, the more I recognize my limitations. And you know, I've had some issues in the past. You know, I think all of us have had little health scares here and there mm-hmm. in our lives. And we realize how fragile, that's the word I was looking for. We really are. I mean, one little tiny thing can change our whole course. And why wait? Why wait till that crisis to have a relationship with God? Jesus here in the Sermon on the Mount, this was early in his ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And he's teaching people to have a relationship with God. Know who you worship. Throw your burdens on him. Ask him to work in your life. Be anxious for nothing. Put God's kingdom first.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he says here. And all these things will be added to you.
Right.
And I've experienced that in my life.
Let me share Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 30. It says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." This is Jesus speaking.
Mm-hmm.
"Take my yoke on you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light."
Hmm. Yeah, the rest. You shall find rest. This is something that the world is lacking today, too.
Yeah.
Because the world is in upheaval and turmoil, and to really be able to get good quality rest in this world is difficult. This is what I love about the Sabbath. Every week you tell people that we worship on the biblical Sabbath.
Yeah.
And it's true. Having that rest is amazing. And not just good sleep at night, which we all need,
mm-hmm.
but having that day, the same day that Jesus took, and two, when he says, "Take my yoke," what is a yoke exactly that this is talking about?
A yoke is something used to pull a wagon, you pull a plow. That's something you attach to an animal around your neck.
Yeah. And so you attach, if you attach a good strong bull to a weak bull that just wants to lay around all the time, this is unequal, and the one ends up doing all the work. Jesus is saying to you, look, if you take my yoke, it's going to be easy. It's going to be light. He makes it light for us.
Mm-hmm.
If we walk in Christ Jesus, life is so much better. And it's not saying that it's going to be an easy walk, but it will be easier with Christ with you than it's going to be without him.
All right.
So where do we go next, Ed?
You know, the last verse, verse 34, says, "Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow shall be anxious for its own things. Sufficient to the day is the evil of it." Don't worry about tomorrow. Just take care of the things you can take care of today.
Right. Yeah, I think I heard a sermon given by a pastor one time, and it was. I think I've said this. I don't know if I've said this on the radio program, but he came out on the stage, and he had a backpack on. And he came out and he starts the sermon and he says, "This is really a heavy load." And he took it, and when he put it down on the floor, you heard it. It had rocks in it. And he says, you know, sometimes we carry a burden around. We think about something that maybe is coming up. Maybe it's a meeting with somebody. Maybe there's something we don't want to have to deal with. And we weigh ourselves down in that, being burdened with that, rather than saying, usually we over-examine things and we make it worse than what it's going to be. So mm-hmm. we carry burdens we don't need to carry.
Right.
It was so well done the way he did it. And I really appreciated that. Don't overthink it. Don't think about the future. Pray about these things. And God will make it easier for us to deal with it. When the time comes, we deal with it. It's easier said than done. But it had a huge impact on me in the way that I look at things. Instead mm-hmm. of thinking ahead and saying, well, if he says this, I'm going to say that. Chances are, that's not even going to be said. That's what I've noticed. And I never really paid attention to that until his sermon.
Okay, why don't we continue on in Matthew chapter 7,
Okay.
And if you could read verses 1 through 6 for us.
Sure. It says, again, this is still Jesus speaking. He says, "Judge not that you may not be judged, that you be not judged." That's how it says it. "For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with what measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove this speck from your eye,' and look, the plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces."
You know, it's easy to judge others. You know, Paul is interesting in that in 2 Corinthians 13:5, he says, "Examine yourselves whether you are in the faith. Prove your own selves. Do you not know your own selves that Jesus Christ is in you unless you are reprobates?" So it's easy to look at someone else, your brother or sister in the church, the pastor, your friends, your coworkers, family members, anyone but yourself. You know, and this idea says, "Let me pull the splinter out of your eye, and behold, you have a beam in your own eye. First cast the beam out of your own eye. Take care of your own problems, you know, through Christ. Come to him. Say, 'I've got this problem. Please help me take care of it.' And then once that happens, then you can clearly see to cast the splinter out of your brother's eye."
Yeah, so a little self-examination is really important. And it's hard to do. I think a good way to do this is to find somebody that you know will be honest with you, and ask them, "Is there anything that you see in my life that I need to work on?" It's interesting because we had one of these moments not too long ago where we all sat down in this ministry and those things were pointed out. That wasn't easy for you to do.
No.
But you took the time. You loved us enough to do that. And that's the love that Christ shows. That's what he's telling us here. Do a self-examination. Look at yourself. And I'm not always honest with myself. Other people usually have to look at me and point it out.
Yeah. You know, I think this goes along with anxiety. You know, some of the things that we're anxious about, we try to blame on others without examining ourselves and say, "What can I do different? What can I do better? What can I change through the power of a living Christ in my life?" And that's that, you know, getting the beam out of your own eye.
Yeah. And one translation says, "Get the rafter out of your
really?
Eye." Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The Bible I grew up with says, "Take the rafter out of your own eye, and then you will see."
Yeah, pay attention to the words. Jesus is saying a splinter is a little piece of wood.
Right.
A beam is a huge piece of wood.
Yeah.
You know, you've got this huge problem. You can't see, because of it, you can't see to help the little problem that your brother has.
It's like the saying, you can't see the forest for the trees,
yeah.
Right? We can't see our own problems a lot of times. And, you know, he says this is hypocrisy when we do that. If we're examining somebody else and we have a particular problem. And this is another saying that I've heard a lot: do not cast your pearls before swine.
Yeah. You know, before we go there, I want to still talk about, you know, casting the beam out of your own eye versus the splinter out of your brother's eye.
Okay.
The world has been programmed, conditioned to find fault in each other. Look at YouTube.
Yeah.
Half of it's about finding fault with such and such.
That's true.
You know, whether it's politics, whether it's religion, whatever it is, it's always finding fault with things and having some hook line, you know, to attract people to your video.
unfortunately, that's what attracts the people. I have a YouTube channel, and if I don't like clickbait. I like the subject matter to be what's in the video.
Right.
But if it's something that they think is controversial, the views go way up.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's something that they think, well, this is just a Bible message, the views go way down.
You know, you're right. If you have a video talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ, you don't get very many hits.
No, you don't.
People don't care.
But if it's about the devil and dragons conspiracies, everybody uh-huh. wants to see it.
The mark of the beast.
The mark of the beast, yeah.
Let's get
Antichrist.
Many more views than
sure.
somebody that wants to know the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. It's very rare.
And I know people might find that hard to believe, but I would say it's probably, 5 to 1 as far as the difference in numbers. It's huge. It's a big, big difference.
Right. So do not give that which is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before a swine, lest they trample them under feet and turn again and tear you. What is Jesus talking about?
Well, I think not giving holy what is to dogs, not giving what is holy, or casting your pearls before a swine. Sometimes there are folks that we might try to witness to that nothing is going to change their thoughts. They've already made their choice. They've let you know, I'm not interested in what you have to say. It doesn't mean that we don't treat them nice. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that we don't do things to maybe help them change that mindset. But there's, what's the old saying? Don't beat a dead horse, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes there are people that you just have to let it go. You just have to let them make their choice and let them have to live with it.
Right.
And
so the value, the holy gospel of Jesus Christ, or the riches of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you try to give that to people, but there's many people don't want to hear it. And they will attack you for trying to speak the word of God.
Sure. In fact, in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 14, I'm just going to read this for context sake.
Okay.
Jesus is sending out his disciples. I'm sure we'll get to this too as we go through this. But here in Matthew chapter 10, it says, "These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them," in verse 5, saying, "Do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now, we just read about the kingdom mm-hmm. in this chapter. And it says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money bags, nor bag for your journey, nor 2 tunics, nor sandals, nor staffs, for a worker is worthy of his food. Now, whatever city or town you enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and stay there till you go out. And when you go into a household, greet it. If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And here's the point. And whoever will not receive nor hear your words when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in that day of judgment than for that city. So shake the dust from your feet is kind of like not casting your pearls before swine. You can't force them to accept it.
Right.
Shake the dust from your feet. And it doesn't mean that we're not going to think about them. There are people in my life, Ed, that have made the choice. This is where I stand. But I think about them constantly, and I still pray for them,
mm-hmm.
that I hope they'll turn around, that something might happen in their life to cause them to recognize their need for Jesus.
All right, let's go on to the next section here in Matthew chapter 7. My Bible titles it Ask and It Will Be Given.
Okay.
So I'm going to read verses 7 through 11. This is the modern King James. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For each one who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to whom who knocks it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, if his son asks for a loaf, will he not give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a snake? If you, then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Mm-hmm. So we had just talked about anxiety, and we talked about going to God in prayer, asking for help in your time of need. And Jesus is saying, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. You know, this is a promise that Christ speaks.
It is. You know, we can pray for a calm heart.
Yes.
And we can ask God to take these things away. Help me to recognize the things that are more important and not be so anxious over the things of this world. One of the things, Ed, that I want to suggest this to those who are listening. One of the things that can cut your anxiety is to turn off the TV, turn off the news, turn these things off, because there's really nothing good that you're going to hear. It creates anxiety, and mm-hmm. that's what they live on. These news networks, they thrive on the controversial things we were just talking right. about, and that's their business. If they can create angst, they can make you feel anxious. It increases their viewership, and some people watch it just so they can get worked up to have something to complain about.
You know, it's like they're feeding the beast.
Yeah.
This beast of anxiety, and it's usually feeding a certain group of people that like their particular narrative that they're teaching and preaching as news, trying to influence the world according to their belief system.
Yeah. One thing that I've found that takes my anxiety away is to turn those things off. And yeah, I have streaming music mm-hmm. service. It's a free one, and they play some commercials in it. But I'll put on some hymns sometimes, instrumental hymns, nice, easy music. Or sometimes when I'm walking, I'll just turn the Bible on and listen to Bible verses while I walk. I pray while I'm walking. Mm-hmm. All of these things can reduce your anxiety, can lower that level. We need this type of thing in this world that we live in.
I know you were talking about prayer. Sometimes if you start praying for other people and the difficulties they're going through, it will help relieve some of your anxiety.
So true.
Being concerned with someone else versus being consumed with something that you can't control. Yeah. Like you can't control what's going on in the world.
We can't. Yeah. I can't control a lot of times what's going on in my vicinity,
yeah.
right? Just immediately around me.
Right.
So how can I think that I'm going to have any effect on what the world does? You know, all we can do is just preach the gospel to people that we know. So I do have a text here.
Okay.
And you took us to, I think it was Philippians.
Yes.
And so this is Paul writing to the Thessalonians, to the church in Thessalonica. And here's what he says. He says in verse, I'm going to read this from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 12. He says, "And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all." And then he says the same thing that he said in the other text. He says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." So this is pretty amazing. He goes on, he says, do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecies, test all things, hold fast to that to what is good, abstain from every form of evil. What great advice for us today.
It's excellent advice, a little bit more challenging to put into practice when we're used to doing things differently than that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like anything else in life. You can create in yourself a habit, mm-hmm. an attitude, whether good or bad. But it takes time to develop good habits. And you need to practice doing these things. And at first, it may be kind of hard to do. But continue in the Word of God. Continue to read about these things. Continue to look at, see how Jesus applied these things to his life.
Sure.
Look at how much he was in prayer, speaking to his Father, even all night at times. He depended upon his Father. He put his trust in his Father. He came to do the will of his Father. And he's our example. We should be willing to do the same.
Amen. And making something, you mentioned making something a habit. Mm-hmm. To form a habit, sometimes you have to do it a number of times. So my suggestion to people is take a time, whether it's if you work and you say, well, I've got a lunch break from 12 to 12:30, make it a habit to say, you know, I'm going to take 3 minutes and I'm just going to pause and I'm going to pray. I'm just going to talk to God for 2 or 3 minutes mm-hmm. every day at this time, whether it's when you get up in the morning, whether you're at lunch, maybe over your meal, maybe in the evening when you go to bed.
You know, this was Daniel's habit. 3 times a day, he would open his windows, open them towards Jerusalem, mm-hmm. Where God's name had been written, talking about the Ten Commandments of the temple. And that was his habit.
Yeah, every day.
And it got him thrown into the den of lions.
Yes, it did. And it might get you thrown into the lion's den. Yeah. But we talked about that not long ago. What happened with those lions?
God sent an angel to shut the mouth of those lions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can't have a relationship with somebody if there's no communication.
Right.
So I really want to encourage you to take time. Start if you do it each day, if you do it for, I've heard this now, I don't know if it's true, but they say if you do something and you make it a routine for 7 days, that it will be much easier to form that as a habit. And so I find myself, that's how I started, is just praying, all right, I'm going to do it at this point every day. And now I find myself talking to God throughout the day.
And that's what Paul means about praying while it's ceasing. You're having a conversation with God throughout
yeah.
the day.
Just like if you're riding with somebody in a car, yeah. what do? You talk about things.
Right.
If you're walking in the grocery store, my wife and I go grocery shopping together, and we talk. Well, when I'm by myself and I'm grocery shopping, I'm not talking to anybody around me. Mm-hmm. I'll talk to God while I talk to him when I take my daily walk, my exercise.
Now, talking with God isn't just asking him for things.
Correct. That's so true.
It's thanking him and praising him. Oh, I didn't even ask. Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, what a beautiful day. I love the sunshine.
Yeah.
It feels so good. Thank you.
Absolutely.
You know?
Tell him what's on your heart. You know, yeah. I'm really worried about this.
Right.
That helps your anxiety.
Right.
To cast your burdens on him. Tell him what's on your heart. And it's just like talking to a friend. If you've talked to somebody, there might be something that's weighing on you. And then once you express it, it's like you can breathe. I got mm-hmm. this out of my system, so to speak. You can do that with God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so comforting.
You know, in Matthew 7:11, it says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So this, these words of Jesus are repeated in Luke chapter 11.
Okay.
And is combined with the Lord's Prayer. So I want to read Luke 11:1-13. And there's a specific gift that's mentioned in Luke 11 that we can talk about.
Okay.
That God wishes to give us. Verse 1 of Luke 11. And it happened as he was praying in a certain place. When he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. You know, if you never prayed before, you don't know where to begin, what to say. So Jesus is just giving this sample prayer of what to think about, how you approach God, how you approach our Father.
Mm-hmm.
Let me read verse 2 again. When you pray, say, Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done as in heaven, so also on this earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. We talked about that a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said to them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go to him at midnight and say to him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come from a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he, answering from inside, may say, Do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are in bed with me. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will arise and give him as many as he needs. And I say to you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened. For what father of you, if a son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a snake for a fish? Or if he shall ask for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?
Mm.
God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father.
Amen.
If we so wish, if we so ask, if we so desire.
And I hear you pray that prayer often. You'll ask for God to send the Spirit of truth.
Yeah.
And we know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life.
And it's through Christ. There's no other mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. It's through Christ that we receive the Spirit of God.
Yes.
The Spirit of His Father.
Yeah, he brings us the Father and takes us before the Father.
And this is promised, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?
Mm.
You know, do you ask to be able to walk in the Spirit, to have the fruit of the Spirit versus walking in the flesh? When we look at Galatians chapter 5, you know, it's promised here. These aren't my words.
Right. These are Jesus' words.
This is something I can't do for you, but God promises he will do it for you if you so ask.
Yes, he does. So you mentioned Galatians chapter 5 because it contrasts the works of the flesh to the fruitage of God's Spirit.
Right.
And really, if we are in line with the fruitage of God's Spirit, the anxiety goes away.
Sure.
And when I say it goes away, I'm not talking about it just masks it. It goes away.
Jesus says, My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives.
Mm.
I think it's the end of John 16. I'm not sure. Let me see if I can find
it. I'm looking for that now for you.
John 16:33 is not exactly the quote I was looking for.
14,
but it says,
maybe 14.
I have spoken these things to you so that you might have peace in me. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
Also, I have here John 14:27. He says, Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid.
Yeah, John 14.
Yes, John 14, beginning in verse 25. Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of people don't understand how this can happen. But there are people that can testify that they've experienced these things.
Amen.
When they shouldn't be having peace because of everything that's going on in the world around them or in their own lives. And yet, because they have put their trust in God, they have knocked, they have sought, they have asked, and God is answering them. Maybe not the way you want it, but He will give you peace if you put your trust in Him.
Mm. I have experienced that when, at a time when you wouldn't think, when I wasn't sure if I was going to make it through or not.
Yeah.
I experienced peace like I never thought I would. And I told my wife, I said, look, if I don't make it through this, I know I'll see you again.
Yeah.
And I just got goosebumps because it was so comforting to be able to say that to her and mean it.
Yeah.
And not be worried about the outcome, whether I would make it through that surgery, which was major surgery, or not.
Well, Mark, you died twice.
I did, yeah. And it's miraculous that I'm here. And I think it was my faith that got me through that. And it's just, I don't know, I'd never, if you would have asked me before that, you know, you always wonder, how am I going to react in a crisis situation?
Mm-hmm.
Just walk with Christ, walk with God, and you'll get through those crisis situations. And the anxiety will dwindle. It will become so minuscule, you won't be paying attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
That's been my experience. So we're just about out of time. Any closing thoughts? We've got about 30 seconds, Ed. Fill that time with something.
Okay. this promise of asking, the promise is ask and it shall be given you.
Yes.
It doesn't say maybe or one out of 10 times. It says it will be given you. Seek and you will find.
Right.
Knock and it shall be opened to you. In Revelation 3, it talks about the church of Laodicea and Jesus knocking on the door of our hearts.
Amen.
And yeah, it's up to us to open it, to let Him in.
Amen. So, friends, I hope you will do that. We have to close with prayer. So let's have a prayer. Father in heaven, what a blessing it is to read these things in the Sermon on the Mount. May we apply these things in our lives. May you help us to reduce the anxiety in our lives. And, Father, may each one of us take the time to approach you in prayer and to make this a habit, to talk to you on a daily basis, many times a day. Thank you so much for this time we've had together. We want to praise your name, Father, and we do this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, friends, we want to thank you for tuning in. We hope you'll tune in again here next Sunday on New Visions Radio at 7 p.m. And until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.